Everyone, I know it's been a very spirit-filled weekend. I've been blessed to be here and to hear all that's been said before me. And it has put a lot of things on my mind. And I'm thankful for the prayer that somehow I can deliver something today that will be meaningful to everyone here. 175 years, and I know that means there are a lot of people here that have started in the Primitive Baptist Church and worshiping in spirit and truth. But perhaps there are some that had not started in the Primitive Baptist Church. For about a decade, I studied outside of the Primitive Baptist Church with under a different doctrine, and I couldn't. It raised a great many questions for me. And I asked a brother in that denomination about Primitive Baptist doctrine. And he said, well, the hyper-Calvinist doctrine that comes forward out of them, they normally take a scripture favorable to them, and you don't hear much outside of those favorable scriptures. And it raised a lot of questions. It had me searching a lot. It wasn't until I went to the Primitive Baptist Church in my adulthood with my mother did I hear that according as He has chosen us in Him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. I heard that in the Primitive Baptist Church. I never heard it in a denominational church. I heard them preach around Romans 8. But they really didn't dive into the verse that says, for whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. They did talk a lot about submitting to the waters of baptism so that your sins could be remitted. They talked about the fruit of the righteous as a tree of life, and he that wins souls is wise. They spent a lot of time preaching from 1 Peter chapter 3. Which sometime were obedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. I bring up these scriptures because no one in the Primitive Baptist Church is afraid to preach soul winning and soul saving when it's based on a foundation of truth. It teaches soul winning and soul saving. The question is one of cause and effect. It also brings up the question, the meaning of salvation. And those have to be rightly divided. I appreciated something that was said yesterday or the day before, with ability comes responsibility. Also, in Timothy, and this one, I struggled with this one for a good while. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all goodliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of truth. These were the precepts that other denominations focused on. Hear, believe, confess, repent, and be baptized. And if you do those things, then your sins will be remitted. And that's what they taught. But the underlying truth, how can I do those things if I am dead in trespasses and sin? And if I do those things, wherein comes my right to boast? Because it ceases to be grace. Now it becomes what I'm owed because I did. The other misunderstanding that comes from the doctrine of predestination is that our responsibility ceases because it's all on the responsibility of God. And that was why I appreciated that quote, and I'm going to use it and I'll probably overpreach it. With ability comes responsibility. One of our responsibilities is to wait on the Lord. And the Lord will richly bless us. In Psalms 27. Psalm 27. David gives credit where credit is due. He starts off, says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" He immediately gives credit and trust in God. And today we sing, trust and obey. Trust comes first. And that leads us into obedience. But the trust wells up with us from God. I won't read the entire psalm for the sake of time. But in verse 11, he says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies." Now in this day, David's enemies were compassed all about him, and he struggled to trust. It's not unlike our world today. There is so much in this world that's trying to draw us away from what our God has instructed us to do. But with spiritual life comes a responsibility. And that's why this church and what has gone on over the last 175 years is so important. In verse 14, he says, well, let's go to verse 13. He said, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage." So we have been granted the ability in the new birth to wait on the Lord. But we are also subject to the flesh, And we know that in Romans 7, Paul talks about the sin that dwells within him that would have him do what he knows he ought not do, that tries to draw him away. But he has the law of the Lord on his heart. And I'd like to go to Exodus 32 to make an illustration of how important our prayers and supplications are, and how God will listen. Exodus 32. Starting in verse 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. Moses told the people, wait here, I'm going to go to the top of the mountain. And instead, they formed the golden calf. And they danced around the golden calf because they did not wait on the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make thee a great nation. God didn't take... It's interesting to me, the choice of words. Moses, these are your people that you led out of Israel. He was so distraught by their behavior. But God is long-suffering, and he listens to the prayers of his people. And Moses besought the Lord and said, Lord, why doth thou wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth from Israel, or from Egypt, with great power and with a mighty hand? Remember, Abraham, remember, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall forever inherit it. And when the Lord heard Moses crying out for his people, he repented of the evil which he was thinking about doing to them. How much more will our prayers be heard when we pray for each other, that when our members fail, when sin wells up within us, and we pray for each other and we work to remind each other of the responsibility that we have, God will listen. He will listen. He is a long-suffering God. Our prayers fortify our spiritual well-being. So when it comes to passages like I read in Timothy, and I'll come over here to James. James chapter 5. It says, Brethren, it's in verse 19. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sin. This is easily misinterpreted, that we are to convert a non-believer to belief, to save them from death. But the text is very clear if you read it very carefully. Who are we talking to here? It says, brethren. Who are the brethren? At the beginning of the book, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, the spiritual Israel, those that believe, brethren, if any of you do err, it is up to us, believers, to take care of each other, to let him know the error. And that is the salvation that's being considered here.
Right.
Looking at the verse in Timothy, one thing I really appreciated was Elder Abernathy. When we use the term all things, all worlds, all men, that term all has to be carefully divided. It says all the things that are under consideration. So when we talk about supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, what are the men that are under consideration here? That is for kings and for all that are in authority. We should pray for our world. We should pray for our leaders. We should pray for those that are around us while we're in the world. And why is this? That we, that is those of us that are not part of the world, not part of that world, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all goodliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. We can even pray for the people that are outside of the world under consideration inside the church of God, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men. Now, who is the all men under consideration here? It is those that wish to have a quiet and peaceable life. To be saved. Saved from the world that we've been instructed to pray for. So it was interesting to me. That the doctrine of grace, when I came to understand that He hath quickened us, who was dead in trespasses and sin, that He is the cause of our spiritual life, and the Bible is teaching us the responsibility that we lead based on being granted that spiritual life, all of these passages begin to harmonize in my mind. And out of confusion came understanding. For that I'm eternally grateful. And I thank each of you here. I thank that this church is here that has led me to this understanding. Thank you.